The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Welcome to The Dory Monson Show. Jack Stein, Matt Markovich sitting in for Dory Monson this afternoon. Sharma Sawant's being recalled, but before we get to that, we're going to be talking about San Francisco and a restaurant that decided to excuse some police officers from eating there. All that and more in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top trending.
I always forget that, Nicole. I will always miss that fine lady will come on and say, top trending, and then I'm going to step right over. So what happened is a couple days ago in San Francisco, a couple of police officers were denied service at a restaurant because their weapons go against the eatery's safe space ideology. So this particular restaurant say, listen, we have like to enjoy a safe space for all of our customers, make them all feel welcome. Unless you are a police officer, because then you can leave. They offer breakfast without boundaries, whatever that might mean, and the police officers were seated. Shortly after, the staff felt uncomfortable with the presence of their multiple weapons. Nicole, we've got that cut from the
I got it right here. This is the restaurant owner talking.
It's not about the fact that we are anti-police. It is about the fact that we do not allow weapons in our restaurant. We were uncomfortable, and so we politely asked them to leave. It has nothing to do with the fact that they were officers and everything to do with the fact that they were carrying guns.
I just don't believe it. This is a really weaselly way for this person to say, we don't like to serve police officers who put their lives on the line for everybody in this city. We don't want to serve them. I refuse to believe that a rational adult in any circumstance would make that kind of delineation. Well, the cops are okay, even though they're trained in hand-to-hand combat and can take your head off with a pencil. But the guns, that's what we really have an issue with here. We don't want to have any guns in our fine establishment. Is this Deadwood? Do you remember when Sam Elliott took over as sheriff as Deadwood? Do you remember this?
No.
Remember this?
No, that's
not Deadwood. What was the movie? Kurt Russell. Someone help me out here. Oh. Kurt Russell, Sam Elliott.
We just talked about movies, and this is
Bill
one I
Pullman.
Don't know.
Huh. Okay, well, there's a scene in that particular movie. Someone out there in the text line knows.
Tombstone.
There Thank you, Nicole, for the win. Yeah. There's a scene where Sam Elliott takes over as sheriff of that particular community, and then he takes everybody's guns, and he says, now you can go into the bar. I don't believe it. This is a radical stance for any restaurateur to take. And I refuse to, I just, it's something about it so gross and greasy. Well, we're fine with the cops, but we don't like the guns. I don't believe it.
Well, I mean, right there, and she's breaking California law. California is a right to carry state.
Right.
So anybody who has the right to, has a lawful gun, including a police officer, can take it to any place of business or on private property or lawfully possessed by a citizen or legal resident. So they can go into that restaurant with a gun, and it's visible. The only thing that California doesn't honor is other states' concealed carry permits. So if you had one in Washington State, you can't use that excuse of carrying a gun into a restaurant in California. But as long as anyone, and that includes a police officer, has that gun exposed, and I'm assuming they had it exposed, they're denying their rights.
It was Bill Paxton, by the way, not Bill Pullman. Thank you very much, 360, for correcting me. Tombstone is a fine film.
But we saw it happen here with Molly Moon. You know, do you remember that case?
Yeah. Wait, refresh my memory.
So Molly Moon had the same thing. She didn't want to have up on Capitol Hill, this is all during the CHOPS things, when the police officers, she didn't want, I should say not she, but the management of Molly Moon would not allow a police officer to come into their restaurant if they were carrying a gun. The big deal. But I believe, if I recall, and I was just going to try and pull it up, that kind of eventually got dropped because of all the backlash. There was a lot of support for it on Capitol Hill because Molly Moon is based right up there on Capitol Hill, a block away from what was the CHOP.
Right.
So there was a lot of support for her and her company, the owner of that company, but not it happened here. So
I have a cut. Actually, she sounds very similar to the San Francisco lady.
You know what is not my job as an ice cream maker? The rules of when police officers can have their guns and when they can put them down. And I don't want that to be my job. I don't care about that. But if they want to come into my shop and buy ice cream without a gun, they are welcome.
Okay, so this is my whole thing with all the anti-cop sentiment that's going around right now. And I will draw a correlation for people out there so we can be very wrinkly brained about this and we can be very nuanced about it. And we can have an 8,000 IQ when we're talking about this particular issue. There are great cops out there. There are fantastic men and women that do their job every single day. And you rarely, if ever, hear about those cops. Conversely, there are awful cops out there that do a terrible job and should not be there, and you always hear about that very small percentage of police officers. As a matter of fact, sometimes, in the case of Troyer, it's a good cop who gets caught up in a circumstance that gets maligned to make it seem as if he is a bad cop, when in actuality, he is a good cop and has a long track record of being a good cop. So, let's draw a correlation here. Everyone has this anti-police sentiment because there is a small percentage of the police that are bad at their jobs. Any person can admit that that's true. If we take that and we apply that same model to, teaching, and we were to say that teachers, right, the people who are in charge of protecting and teaching the various and sundry small children from ages 5 all the way up to 18, if we apply that same standard to teachers, where is all the anti-teacher sentiment? It doesn't exist, right? Because people recognize that teachers serve a purpose within a society. But they refuse to recognize that when it comes to police, because police are always supposed to be bad, right? It's always ACAB with the police. But look at the rates of violence and sexual abuse from teachers to students in the public school system across the United States. It's through the roof. It's higher than any church. It's higher than any private organization. And nobody says a thing about it. Nobody says a word about it. But then you get one bad cop who does something bad. All of a sudden, it's national news for 6 weeks. And it is so irritating that we don't apply the same standard to any other organization. These are men and women put their lives on the line every single day, and then you have the audacity to say to them, listen, we're not going to serve you unless you take your guns off?
Well, let's put it this way. Local, you know, that's what basically local laws are all about, the standards of that time, of that era, of that neighborhood. And if you have a state law that says anybody can walk into any store if they're gun exposed, and that includes a police officer, how do you enforce that in a neighborhood where maybe some of the neighborhoods don't want that to happen, including this restaurant and maybe in Molly Moon's situation? I mean, that's the situation. There was a county sheriff, I think it's Polk County down in Florida, who is notorious. I don't know if that's the right word. It's a sheriff who says, you know, if these people come and violate, rob my community and they burglarize houses, you know what you should do as citizens of my community? Get your guns and shoot them to death. You know, and basically he said that. He's notorious for that. So it's, should the allowances of Molly Moon's, of this restaurant down in California, just be allowed to exist locally as almost like a local custom? Even though it is the law that they can carry it. I see what you're saying about a particular job, like law enforcement, being separated here, like teachers and stuff. You know, that's a moment in time. I believe it's a moment in time. Mm. Just, you know, don't ruffle the feathers. If you're a Seattle police officer, maybe honor what the store owner has requested.
Mm.
And just walk in and get your ice cream without a gun.
I will say this. I was in my hometown over the weekend. I was visiting my friend Billy Sunshine, the communist menace. And I'm walking downtown just waiting to meet up with my good buddy Billy, who's a filthy socialist. And I'm noticing in all of the signs downtown, you know, and all the, you know, the glass, and they have the dresses and the shoes and the watches.
What city is this?
This is Santa Cruz.
Okay.
So I'm walking downtown and I'm just waiting for Billy. And I noticed that previously when I had been there, that there were signs in every single window that said, we support our local men and women in uniform in almost every single business. This time when I was down there, every single business, BLM. BLM. Not we support local police, BLM. My hunch is, and you can say that this is a right-wing talking point if you so choose, my hunch is that these businesses realize that if they have a BLM little placard in front of their window, that the likelihood of that window being smashed is much less than if they have a "We support our men and women in blue." And that is a psychological or a philosophical twist that I never thought would happen in my hometown. I never thought that you would see that immediate just turn on people who, again, if I need to remind everybody for the 100th time, that every single day that they punch in, they put their life at risk so that I can go get ice cream and I can walk my Pomeranian around my neighborhood and so on and so forth. And yet, who do we choose to celebrate as business owners? A random mob. A random mob over people who put their lives on the line.
Well, maybe you should do an experiment with your friends there out at Santa Cruz. Find your local ice cream store that has Welcome BLM, but also has We Support the Blue Line. Put both signs in the window and see what happens.
It explodes. you can't handle those contradictory terms at the same time. It just implodes in on itself.
Well, then have a hidden camera out there and someone with a rock saying, "Don't throw it, dude. No, don't throw it. No, don't throw it." So we'll get that conflict right in front of that ice cream store.
Speaking of anti-cop sentiment, by the way, I did want to touch on the recall of Sawant because there is I have a hot take for everybody out there. And Matt, let me know what you think of this, because Sawant is very anti-cop. I think that Sawant, we've kind of missed the mark on identifying what kind of political figure Sawant actually is. I think that Sawant is much more similar to a Donald Trump than any other type of politician. I think that Sawant, loud, gregarious, abrasive in so many ways, fits the model of a Donald Trump-esque politician more than most people might suspect. Because think about what she has done. She has created a narrative in this recall election in which big money, outside money, the capitalist menace is coming down and is trying to ruin her grassroots campaign where she is just trying to help the people. This is exactly the same model that Donald Trump took, only he took it with the media. And he was saying, look at what the media is trying to do to my presidency.
Yeah, but if you look at where the money's coming from, the majority of her supporters are, or I should say majority of the money is coming from outside the district. Outside.
Yes.
Because of her higher calling, what she's trying to represent, she wants to be the AOC of the West Coast. So
yes.
She's going to try and do that and appeal to outside the city of Seattle contributors. But she, of all people, and I think you're right in the Donald Trump analogy, you can count on her stance on almost any vote going forward. You could predict it. She is very predictable, very, very predictable. So you know what you're getting in voting her into office in District 3. And, you have basically 76,000 people that are having that chance tomorrow to keep her in office for the fourth time as their representative, even though she's being outspent. The recall people have actually raised, I should back that up, she has more donations than the recall people. But that money is coming from outside the district. And, I think this logic that I heard this talked about before, this logic that, well, why should anybody outside of her district care about things? This is just a council race. Well, why do people spend so much money outside of the senatorial race that was so controversial in the last election in Georgia? So much money came from outside the state. Well, because it changes the idolatry of the ideology of the city council if you possibly can add another person that's not of Sawant's liking. So that's why there's so much money coming from the outside. It's a bigger than just the District 3. But again, I give her full credit, better than any other council member for the last couple election cycles, that she is the most predictable, guaranteed how you're going to vote and what she's going to present to the council. And if that's what you want in a politician and you agree with her, she's going to get a lot of support. And again, she's doing exactly what she did in her last campaign. She's hoping to have 2,000 people that have been just registered to vote in the last 2 weeks here. She just had 1,000. And this is that last minute push that her supporters have perfected in this city of getting people to sign up to vote. And it may just take 3,000 or 4,000 votes. at the very end for her to squeak this one out?
I'm thinking, see, I haven't made a prediction in an election since 2016. I told you this, man. I have been wrong now.
I'm not taking you to Vegas. That's what I remember.
I have been wrong every single time. I was even wrong about the Georgia senatorial race. I was wrong about the 2020 election. I was wrong about 2016. I was wrong about Gavin Newsom being recalled. I have been nothing but wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. So I wonder if I now need to start guessing the opposite in order to make what I want to happen true. So I'm going to guess that Sawant wins and doesn't get recalled is my assumption that I'm making in good faith to everybody out there, including the gypsy who cursed me 5 years ago to make sure that all of my predictions were wrong.
Hey, that curse is working.
I haven't been right in years. So it's surprising to me, though, that in a way, District 3 is a very small microcosm of what we see at the national level, right? It's this very, very small example of what we see at the national level with outside money coming in, all this stuff going on. I did hear Aaron Mason make a great point on G and Ursula earlier this morning, and he said something to the effect of, listen, there's a percentage of the people that live in District 3 that want to be their voice. And I think that is it is such a fantastic point, because it is true. I know it's easy for us as outsiders to look into that and say, how could you possibly want that lady representing you or your interests? I think we have to, not so much in the future if Sawant wins, I think we have to talk to those people more as opposed to attacking Sawant's crazy ideas. I think that's going to be the way to really change politics in the city, is talking to people instead of trying to point out the hypocrisies of the people that they put into office.
And I've said to you before, like, where I think what the role of the Seattle City Council has done in this last generation of a council with Sawant on board and kind of leading the fight in many of these cases is that the city council's acting more like a union rep, union.
Yes.
For people who are blue collar. And a lot of those people live in a District 3. And so her call outs to new, like $15 minimum wage, the eviction, the notifications, the help for hotel workers, that plays right in the role of District 3. And if she continues to do that, you would expect her to do more of that, she could pull it out again.
We will take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to be talking inflation hitting the 12 days of Christmas. We'll be right back on the Dory Monson Show right after this.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love sent to me four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
I've been avoiding Christmas music. I've been trying to avoid it as best I can. Thank you, Sean, for ruining my streak. I was like 6 days.
Boy, you
December.
Are a Scrooge.
I just don't like Christmas music. There are certain Christmas music that I can vibe with. It's a bit of a bop. It's a bit of a jam. But other Christmas music, I'm so tired of. I love Christmas. Christmas is my favorite holiday. I cannot stand Christmas music. Unless it's, I could get down for some soulful renditions of, you know, Santa Claus is coming to town, stuff like that. But if it's a generic, you know, like Norman Rockwell type Christmas music, I'm just not into it. You know who is a Scrooge? You know who is a Scrooge? If you like this segue.
Okay.
Joe Biden.
Oh.
Joe Biden is the worst Scrooge of the year because the 12 days of Christmas is going to be costing a lot more this year. Did you read? There was an article that was put out comparing the Biden Christmas extravaganza to the Trump Christmas extravaganza, and they had an analyst determine that Dr. Jill Biden is more of a normal Christmas maker than Melania Trump, because Jill Biden went with green Christmas trees and Melania Trump went red Christmas trees. Oh, what are we going to do? Red Christmas trees. Do you know how much they spent, Matt Markovich? Do you know how much they spent on their various and sundry Christmas decorums.
You mean just in the White House right there?
Just in the White House. Just
well,
in the White
you
House.
Know, there's a difference between Melania going to Neiman Marcus and Jill Biden going to the dollar store. Okay.
We're talking in the high hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about close to $1 million in trees and various accoutrements. I think that we have now a new kind of royalty expectation in the United States where we want to see the White House, the People's House, adorned with taxpayer dollars in the form of overpriced Christmas goods. It's ridiculous, Matt.
But you understand, this is our royalty. I mean, if you're in England, you're going to want to have the crown have Buckingham Palace looking beautiful because
but
the house.
Just do me a favor next time, okay? Whoever is the president, just take $100 bills and glue them to a rod and then put that in the window with some lights around it, and then I'll know that my tax dollars were better spent than the garbage. Like ABC, NBC, they all go through the White House and they go, wow, look at this extravagant, look at this castle that we've put Joe Biden in and Jill Biden in, and walk through as their dog bites the Secret Service agents. I cannot believe that there are so many Americans who still live in the Matrix that when they see that they don't physically cringe in such intense pain that they wonder to themselves, how could I have ever voted for this man? Particularly when we look at inflation rates that are through the roof. We're talking about 5.7%.
That is a Scrooge comment. You are just as bad as Joe Biden, because you know, Christmas is about tradition.
Yeah.
You know, we're all dropping coin on gingerbread houses that you'll never eat. I mean, how many have you made with your kids? You know, and you just watch it and just destroy it. My son used to get his little pop gun and just shoot my daughter's house. No, that was funny. But, but it's tradition, and people want to see tradition in this country and not to have it put a... At some point, it's going to cost dollars for anything.
Right.
Now, but if you do an extravaganza, it's going to cost $100 million, you know, I think, yes. But, you know, I still want to see, I'm kind of maybe shift the subject here because we got the old song, you know, 12 Days of Christmas.
Sure.
You know, the WGN went out and found out how much all this is going to cost, and everybody does that every year. They estimate 7 swans of swimming is $13,000.
Yeah.
What is seven swans of swimming? Is that like...
Well, you rent them. You rent them from
a swan?
Yeah, you rent them.
Seven and divided by 13, that's almost $2,000 a swan.
You can do that, but and I've heard of that. People
do
that for parties.
Like synchronized party, synchronized swimmers.
Lords of Leaping? Who's buying Lords of Leaping or even renting Lords of Leaping?
Yeah. I can go up to Capitol Hill and get a couple guys for a couple thousand right there.
So 12 drummers drumming. 3,000 seems to be a bit of a low ball for studio musicians. I feel like that would be significantly higher.
Be a marching band, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's a good
point. Yeah, but look at obviously the cheapest one, you got to call it out. Eight maids of milking, a whopping $58.
Wow.
Wow. Eight maids? I mean, that's below,
minimum wage.
Some labor.
Where are they getting these eight maids of milking for $58?
I don't want to know. I don't even want to know. Fifth day, 5 golden rings is going to cost you $895.
I think that's cubic zirconia there. Yeah, that's not right.
4 calling birds. That's got to be a PetSmart purchase, right? Looking at $600 for those. 3 French hens. Which reminds me, I did notice that when I went to get my Thanksgiving roast, it was significantly more, approximately 5.7% more than I had paid previously.
You got a roast?
I got a roast because I didn't want to do it. I don't want to do turkey. I am tired of turkey in my life.
You're such a non-traditionalist here. I'm learning more about you now.
I like ham for Thanksgiving. It's okay.
I want fatty red meat that is American. I don't want a weak bird that runs into people when they're trying to run away. Like, a turkey is an obnoxious, abrasive animal. A beef is all American. Cattle are like dogs in many ways. Very friendly, very affable creature. A turkey is a miserable, curmudgeonly creature that will attack you as you're trying to get into your car. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, no, now you're just officially the Grinch.
You are.
Instead of Scrooge, because he's the roast beast.
See? Yes. There you go. Mm-hmm. I want the beast. So what do we have to say about Joe Biden's inflation? What do we have to say about this? I mean, I've noticed my Christmas shopping is significantly more expensive under Bidenflation. What say you, Matt Markovich?
Well, it's obvious that it's going to be costing more. But I don't attribute it to Joe Biden. Come on.
It's what?
This is started a couple years ago before Joe Biden took office. You know, let's put it this way. The government is spending hand over fist in COVID dollars, sending it out to everybody. Here's your free hand. Here's a free hand there. Oh, so many people on unemployment, just with their state unemployment, and then they get the free hand from the federal government. So they're not working at all. So that was that created under Joe Biden? No, but that was a previous administration.
But it went down every year. Or it was lower last year and the last 8 years.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you go. Now, if I go to the dollar store, I can find nine ladies of a dancing.
That cost has gone up. It's not the dollar store anymore. It's the dollar store plus.
Yes. I know. I didn't learn
it's a dollar 25 store.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all goes where you shop. And it takes time. You know, it takes a lot of effort to save money. It really does. And if you've done that, like I have, I've never had a lot of means. It takes a lot of money to save money. I mean, a lot of time to save money. So I'm not putting this current high cost, the 12 days of Christmas, on Joe Biden this year. Not at all.
I'm going to blame Obama. That seems like a fair thing to do, right?
We're going
to
go back another presidency. Okay.
I'll cut it all the way down the middle, and I'll just revive. Remember when everyone used to say, thanks, Obama? Remember that one? That was a good meme. Yeah. I want to bring back that into the fold so we can start saying, thanks, Obama. And everyone's like, yeah. We can just go back to living that life.
I did this. Have you seen those stickers everywhere?
I have.
I did those.
I saw my first one in real life, and I chuckled and laughed. It's Joe Biden pointing to your gas station.
Empty stores.
Yeah. Just pointing at the misery that he has created. So, all right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we will wrap all of this up with some awesome audio, of which we have some clips from Joe Biden claiming that he was somewhere when in actuality he was not actually there. Surprise of surprises. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. So, Nicole, before we get to the Dory Monson's awesome audio, we had a couple people pop up in the text line, and they're very curious. Dory Monson, they say, where is Dory? How is Dory doing? Please update us on Dory Monson. Can you give the fine people just a little bit of an update on Mr. Monson?
She's kind of busy right now.
Oh,
so,
no.
Apparently he's a little under the weather, and he's been trying to get better to come back because he doesn't want guys like us to take over his show.
No.
And they're saying, wait a minute, the politics is all off mine. So he's working real hard to come back tomorrow.
Yes, I think that he's definitely on the upswing. His voice just wasn't quite there yet, and so we're getting there.
Yeah, and it's tough. I think a lot of people should realize it's real tough to Dory does 3 hours by himself, and that volume of speaking, it can be really rough on anybody's vocal cords, and to try to do it post-illness is like, it's a real slog. So best to Mr. Monson, and we hope he feels better soon. So Nicole, an awesome audio. What do we got for this afternoon?
I believe you teased it. You want to tease Biden or talk about Biden first?
Oh, yeah. So Joe Biden was talking the other day, and he was saying, hey, you guys know this whole, 6 days war thing? I remember when I met the prime minister of Israel, and I talked to this human being, and as it turns out, this was not a thing that actually happened. Here's what that sounded like from Joe Biden.
I was saying to a couple of younger members of my staff before I came over, about the many times I've been to Israel, I said, and then all of a sudden I realized, God, you're getting old, Biden. I have known every prime minister well since Golda Meir, including Golda Meir. And during the Six-Day War, I had an opportunity to, she invited me to come over because I was going to be the liaison between she and the Egyptians about the Suez and so on and so forth.
He was in law school. So what happened was he wasn't even there. So what happened was I heard this speech that he was giving, and then I went, wait a minute, this doesn't line up whatsoever. And so I just opened Wikipedia and I'm trying to go through it. I had a French professor in college, and he studied this particular region of the world. I took several classes with him, and I'm doing the math in my brain. I'm trying to remember Professor Serres and then Joe Biden and 6 days war. And it was almost like I'm doing math equations, complicated math equations in my wrinkly brain. And then I realized there's no way he was in law school. So what? This is a weird lie for him to try to make up. So he goes to talk to the prime minister of Israel when he's a junior in law school. She calls him. and says, hey, can you...
did you feel like that he was talking in real time there?
I don't know how he comes up with these. I don't know.
He knew her before. He's known her after
right.
she was
I'm
prime
sure
minister.
That...
I think that's what he's referring to.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's an element of truth there, but it doesn't all come together and it comes off like a lie because you haven't made the story believable.
It just comes. And if he was trying to rearrange it in some way, like if I'm sure if he was trying to do it in his mind, something tells me that period of time is now missing. Right. So that's what's concerning to me, as per usual.
Yeah.
With President Biden.
You know, he had a little trouble today with speaking on a teleprompter. Did you hear about that?
No, I have not heard about that.
Well,
what happened with teleprompter?
Here's a little sample.
In other words, if you're saying to drug, we're saying to drug companies, if you're finally doing it because to be accountable, when your prices to the American people go up, you're going to be accountable.
So
wait, what? I can't even. What was I was like? What is the? This is every time I listen to Joe Biden, I feel like I lose my ability to speak and at least a dozen brain cells. I feel like it's you ever see those those videos on YouTube where they make people listen to the noise canceling? They put the noise canceling headphones on and then they can't talk anymore because they can't hear their voice. This is what I feel like I get from Joe Biden on a daily basis.
Well, I think what we are seeing, and this is something I was afraid of because of his age and seeing his speeches and seeing him in the debates when he could be really sharp and then all of a sudden, it's just not there. He didn't have his coffee or something
right.
like that.
Right, yeah.
It comes almost we're expecting it now. But will it get to the point where if he's telling a story about Israel and he's trying to explain drug prices, I believe it was about the COVID at the time when he was talking about that, and apparently he was reading from a prompter. You know, it's going to be an idiosyncrasy with this president that's going to be played up on Saturday Night Live big time, and that's just the way he is. Now, is he getting dementia? Is he making up stuff that doesn't happen, like what happened to Brian Williams, you know, and why he got booted from NBC News and will soon be taking Chris Cuomo's job? That's my prediction.
Yeah.
Is that what this is all about? You know, is it a point where it's serious enough where he can't be commander-in-chief? Right now... I'll cut him some slack, but it just doesn't look good.
It gets worrisome because I think it's dangerous when words get twisted and then your readings get twisted and things like that. And here's him being asked about Russia and Putin, which this is kind of an example of, well, that sounds scary. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I get it. I don't have that up right
okay,
now.
Okay, I got it for you.
Oh, yeah, I have it right here. Okay.
Go for it.
That's Russia from invading Ukraine. The AP is reporting that they're expected to potentially invade in 2022.
We've been aware of Russia's actions for a long time. And my expectation is we're going to have a long discussion. We'll see.
Do you accept Putin's red line on Ukraine?
I don't accept anybody's red line.
You know, there's one more that I should play for you.
Except anyone's red line.
Yeah, there's one more where he is clearly wrong about this, and I'll tell you why.
You know, I won't go into it, but as I've been in and out of Afghanistan and Iraq over 27 times, I think, and going to these war zones, be up in the Konar Valley, and you'd hear your music being played by our service for real.
They did some fact checking, and he's been to Afghanistan 21 times.
Mm.
So, you know, it's kind of playing loose with the facts because you kind of know a little bit about your own life, and then you're kind of, well, I'm on the spot here. Can I recall how many times I've been in Afghanistan in 1 second? No, but I think with being president, he has to realize that people are going to jump on these small little gaffes and makes a big deal about it, like we're doing right now.
Well, here's why.
He doesn't need to include the number. He needs to learn to just leave out the little details that make it not true, right? Just talk about going there.
And also, you know, Matt, I think that the media, the mainstream televised media, does a phenomenal job of trying to make Biden appear like he is something that he is not, which is this elderly statesman who's very in control, who knows exactly what's going on. And then there is this huge portion of the society which goes, wait a minute, we could debate all day whether or not he has dementia or not, but this guy is not some clean-cut elder statesman. This is one of the most corrupt politicians to ever walk through the halls of the House. And then when he says, well, there's no red line when it comes to the Ukraine, well, there certainly is huge checks going to his son from Ukraine. So it creates a kind of a doublethink to many people out there who say, there's something off with this guy. This is not a normal way of speaking. So you could say that it's nitpicking and it's just a gaffe and a goof. But for many of us, when we see it, it's another pebble onto this pile of examples when people come to us and they say, no, he's totally fine. And we go, have you seen this mountain of pebbles that we've collected over the last 8 months? So
I think it goes to that old saying that says, how can you get the big things right if you can't do the little things right?
Yeah, there you go.
Really quick, I have one more as we go out here.
Yep.
I just found this, so I only had time to bleep a little bit of it, but apparently this is the new mantra in Australia, because obviously, you know, they're very mandated right now, and this is the new tune that's catching on there. And literally, it starts with one guy, and it's now in thousands of people, groups of people singing it in the street. So here it is.
You can stick your vaccine mandates up your... You can stick your vaccine mandates up your...
Really catching on.
I don't think Santa Claus would like that.
You've been listening to the Dory Monson Show. We have to get out of here. Dory Monson will be back tomorrow. See you then. Goodbye.
I will not have this in my studio. You have failed conclusively. It's over. And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.